Each year, RNIB celebrates International Volunteers Day, where we recognise our volunteers, we recognise the work that they do, and we want to tell you all about it and perhaps even encourage some of you to become volunteers. Cass Kamara is with us from RNIB to tell us a little bit more. Cass, it's fair to say that RNIB, we could not do the work that we do without our valued volunteers.
We have around 2,500 volunteers at RNIB who contribute in a variety of ways. And if we didn't have those volunteers involved in our services, in our networks, in campaigning and fundraising, we just wouldn't be able to deliver those services, campaign for change, and make a difference in the lives of blind and partially sighted people each year.
Volunteering has probably historically had a bit of an image. It's perhaps for older people, it's for retired people, and you know, you have to do it several days a week. But these are really sort of myths now, aren't they? It's completely different.
Volunteering is flexible. It fits around all different types of commitments that you have in your life. So if you're a younger person who might be at university, volunteering is for you. Equally, if you work full-time, volunteering can be for you too. We want to have a really diverse mix of volunteers from all backgrounds of all ages, and we can find a volunteering opportunity that suits you and your life.
RNIB is a large organisation, so there will be different areas that people can volunteer in. You're bringing their skills and learning new skills as well.
We've got a range of opportunities in our services, like we've got benefit form volunteers who are part of our sight loss advice service, and they support people with completing benefit forms. So being a good listener and a good communicator is, you know, perfect for that type of role. But we also have volunteers who support in our counselling service. So those individuals might be counsellors themselves. So they bring a big range of skills to that, to those roles. You can speak to our recruitment officers who can help find the role that's for you and suits what's motivating you to share your time, your skills and your experience at RNIB.
Now, that gained experience or the opportunities to gain experience, that must be great if you're maybe in education or you're maybe looking for work, to get into volunteering, to maybe broaden your horizons in areas you've never thought of before as well.
Volunteering is great for all of the reasons that you've just said, and people choose to volunteer with us for a number of reasons. What people get out of volunteering will be different depending on where they are in their lives. For some, volunteering offers that chance to give back, especially for those who have had support from RNIB in the past. But it also offers a chance for people to make a difference, and it provides that opportunity to develop new skills, but also to share those skills with others. So we really do hope that volunteering is a mutually beneficial experience, so that volunteers are able to give something to RNIB and blind and partially sighted people that we work alongside. But also we hope that volunteers take something away, whether that's a new skill, confidence to enter the workforce, you know, new friends, new passion. There's a mutual exchange between the volunteers that share their time with us, but equally for RNIB that we've got this great support from really talented people that come from diverse backgrounds.
Interesting point you made, Cass, as well, is that volunteering, you know, you can be blind or partially sighted as well. There are really sort of no barriers in many of the areas that, that people can go into if they have sight loss.
We really want our volunteering opportunities to be inclusive for everyone. Currently, we have a quarter of our volunteering community who are blind and partially sighted, and we really do value having blind and partially sighted people involved as volunteers. It helps us to shape our services, to understand barriers that people living with sight loss face, and to grow as an organisation in our understanding of that experience. But I think it really offers teams an opportunity to learn and to put new things into practice. For example, we have in our networks a lot of blind and partially sighted people who are able to connect to peers in their local networks, and that is really valuable experience. And I think it also highlights the power of volunteering and involving people from different backgrounds who have different experiences. All of that is really important.
Well, here's a quick point, actually, Cass. You know, if someone is volunteering and perhaps you know, they're not enjoying what they're doing, or it's maybe not for them, you know, to stop them leaving and perhaps losing some skills, are there options to maybe move around different areas?
So what I would suggest is, instead of thinking, oh, this isn't for me, and walking away, we would love to keep you on, and it would be great if you get in contact with one of the volunteering recruitment officers, and you can email or call us, and we can have a chat about what you're currently doing and what you might like to move into instead.
And if people would like to do that, Cass, what's the best starting point? Where should they get in touch with?
So for people looking for volunteering opportunities, they can be found by visiting our website at rnib.org.uk/volunteering. You can also email volunteering@rnib.org.uk, or you can call 0303 123 9999 and select option 4, and then you can speak to one of our volunteering recruitment officers.
Fantastic, Cass. Let's hope more people do get involved. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, thank you so much, Alan. And I'd like to say thank you to all the volunteers who contribute their time, their skills, and their experience to RNIB. We couldn't do it without you.
We are looking at volunteering, and for many charities, no matter what size they are, volunteers are the lifeblood to providing those vital services. I'm chatting today with Minhal Khan, who is a volunteer intern with RNIB down in the Judge Street office in London. What appealed to you about volunteering? What got you involved with RNIB?
Well, I do a lot of volunteering for various organisations, and I came to RNIB. Actually, my cousin was born blind, and she was the one who told me about RNIB. And I have a background in social research, and I was looking for research internships because although I have a degree, I didn't have experience. So RNIB offered me an internship, and I had background information and a little bit of experience in communicating with people with sight loss, and it all fell into place.
Okay, so tell me about the work you do then.
So I began working with three other volunteers in doing interviews over the phone with other volunteers who have been working for various teams in the RNIB, and we were trying to gather information about their experiences, their communication experiences, their volunteering experiences, and just trying to help other volunteers fit better into RNIB. And we conducted phone interviews, and I am now analysing the SurveyMonkey, so online email interviews as well.
What attracted you then to this post? Is volunteering a good way of getting experience in this kind of environment?
I think it's a great way, actually, because a lot of people expect that an internship is not voluntary. It should be just like any other position. However, something I learned as a volunteer intern is, A, I could come in at any time, and as long as I was helping and doing my work, and it was really flexible. And I am a mother of a nursery going child, and it really helped me manage my personal life with helping and volunteering. And the internship provided a really good basis. My manager is amazing, and she has really helped me through the processes that RNIB uses. And she has organized my internship in such a good way that I feel like, had I not done this, I would have been lost.
Okay. I mean, some people volunteer, maybe they're retired and looking for something to do as well. But obviously, volunteering is for all ages. Do you see this as perhaps an important part of your future career?
As you said, lots of people volunteer when they have retired. That's been the case for a lot of the volunteers. I think 65% or more of the volunteers who I've spoken to said they were retired. But for me, it was more about I wanted to improve my prospects for the next job that I would do. Having gotten the education, I didn't have experience in my field because it's just so competitive. And, you know, when you apply for jobs, they say, oh, you don't have experience with X or with Y. And I had the knowledge, but I had no way to show that I had done it somewhere. I had, you know, practically applied my knowledge, and I got the chance to do that here. And I think that's why volunteering has been a great option for me.
Sounds if it's a good amalgamation of the skills you already have and learning sort of new skills as well in what we could probably call a live environment.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you put it in a great way.
You're out of the classroom and actually doing the job itself. I mean, what was it like, you know, coming in for the first time and sort of finding your feet?
Honestly, I think everyone was so friendly. Everyone at Judd Street, where I am based, were really happy because they got to interact with the other teams as well. So I have worked with people in relationships. I have worked with people who are in internal communications. I've even spoken to lots of people in research and evaluation. And it's been a great chance to sort of socialize as well as, you know, interact with people in other departments, because you have an idea of what these people do, but you don't actually know, because people tend to keep to their own little spaces. Mm. So being in an office here, being here, has really helped me.
So you really feel you've been part of a team. Do you think the work you've done has been valued?
Definitely. My managers, their managers have, you know, spoken to me. Just this morning, I did a presentation for the whole of the volunteering and engagements team on what I had been working on the research, on the data we had collected, findings. And I was really nervous because, you know, these people, they are the actual team, volunteering and engagement team. And I felt like, oh, I'm just a volunteer. Hopefully they will like what I say. But everyone had really positive feedback. They really appreciated that I put all the documents together regarding the research, the volunteer survey. And I feel valued and I feel like I am part of a team. I did not feel at any point that I am different from them.
Would you recommend volunteering to people?
Definitely. I continue to volunteer in other places as well. So I keep telling people to go ahead and volunteer. And I think it is really important. I have felt since I've been at RNIB that there are not enough, as you can say, students or younger volunteers. And I think they should really look towards RNIB to volunteer, because it really would help them with their future career and honing their skills and understanding how charities really involve volunteers and how the department really works.
Manal, it sounds as if you've learned a great deal and you're enjoying your time at RNIB, and thank you for telling us your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.
We are looking at volunteering and what that means to RNIB, because like many charities, volunteers are the lifeblood of what we do, and we really couldn't provide the services we do without them. Now, Linda Wilson joins us now to tell us why she became a volunteer. Why was that, Linda?
Well, first of all, hello. I became a volunteer because I was working just in my local area with my disability group, and obviously looking at the issues which blind and partially sighted people face on a daily basis. And I became involved with the RNIB volunteering when I realised that I could be doing this for the whole of the Cumbria area, which is where I live, and I wanted to help as many people as I could.
Wow. So what is it you do as a volunteer?
I enjoy meeting with council officers and elected members, bringing the correct people together and explaining what the issues are, whether that's out on the built environment, whether it's on public transport, whether it's with the NHS. Just bring people together and outline what we face on a daily basis, and then asking them how can they help to make our life a lot better. I just want to make things better for everybody.
It's quite a range of topics that you really throw yourself into this then. Was it a bit daunting at first becoming a volunteer for RNIB, or were you all geared up and ready to go?
Well, it was a bit daunting. I do feel as if I have a voice and I need to use that voice. But perhaps when it comes to, you know, maybe speaking to MPs, I've never spoken to an MP before. You know, how on earth do I address an MP? But unless the people who make decisions are aware of issues, then nothing will get done. And if I can bring those people together, I will do that. I will carry on doing that.
With charities like RNIB will campaign for change. You know, as you say, the built environment could be shared space, it could be better public transport provision, talking buses, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But really hearing from the likes of yourself, the people at the sharp end, that's what makes a difference. And did RNIB support you with training to be able to do all this?
Yes, initially, but once I became more confident in what I was doing, I was out there on my own. Obviously, I do have the support. I have the support of fellow campaign coordinators in the Northwest and obviously my campaigns officer. But yeah, I felt empowered to be able to just go out there and do what needs to be done.
What would you say was perhaps the highlight this year? What's the biggest challenge been or your biggest success that you've been involved in?
Oh, well, that's easy. In one of the local towns where I live, there was to be built a new junction, and it will make it safer for all pedestrians, but more especially for blind and partially sighted people. I ensured that the people making the decisions knew that we were totally against shared spaces, which is what they'd originally planned. But when I found out that they had gone away from that idea, I thought, oh, great, that's wonderful. But just to ensure that the pedestrian crossings are the correct controlled pedestrian crossings, the tactile paving is correctly placed, the colour scheme for the pavements and the curb edges, it was all geared around the needs of blind and partially sighted people. So I felt as if that was my greatest success this year.
That must have given you a lot of pride, a real sense of achievement to know that your input as a volunteer made such a difference and will make such a difference to people's independence.
That's right, yeah. I do feel proud of that, that the road junction is actually under construction as we speak. It's going to take about 6 to 8 months, but I know that at the end of that construction, blind and partially sighted people wanting to cross that road, which is a busy junction coming into the town, they will feel safe. They will feel safe and they will be able to go to one of the major supermarkets that's there on that junction. They're going to be really safe.
Now, my next question, Linda, you probably answered actually already, but what do you get from volunteering? What keeps you doing it?
I keep doing it because I want to make a difference. Whatever that campaign might be, I want to make a difference for blind and partially sighted people.
Would you recommend volunteering to others? Because it has a bit of a kind of outdated stereotype. You know, it's for older people volunteering, but anyone could get involved. That's what we are trying to tell people. But what would you say to them?
I would encourage anyone to become a volunteer. The way that I volunteer and do my campaign work, I don't go on marches. I don't make protests. That's not my style. My style is to sit down with people around a table, and anyone should have the confidence to do that. I would like to think that I empower other people to do that as well.
Linda, congratulations on the big achievement. It is a great piece of work and something which will, you know, make a difference for a very long time. And thank you for telling us all about it on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're welcome.